We are certainly at a crossroads in world history. We have been at many crossroads in the past, and this is another crossroad that we are at. Just trying to advance the slide. Oh, I guess I'm advancing here, but not there. Apologize for that. So God has always had his people on earth. And Israel used to be that people. Right now, what we're seeing is a crossroad in government in the world. And in the past, with God's chosen people, there has been a crossroad of government as well. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 21. Ezekiel chapter 21. And we'll start with verse 21. The Bible says, "For the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way, at the head of the two ways, to use divination. He made his arrows bright. He consulted with images. He looked in the liver. At his right hand was the divination for Jerusalem." Dropping down to verse 25, we see that at this parting of kingdoms, that God took the kingdom that he had given to Israel and he passed it to Babylon. Verse 25, "Thou profane wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come when iniquity shall have an end." So this was a judgment pronounced upon God's chosen people. Verse 26, "Thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem or the crown and take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high." Verse 27, "I will overturn," God said to Israel, "once that is placed upon the king of Babylon's head," the kingdom passing from Israel to Babylon, overturned once. That was to Medo-Persia. And then there's a second overturn in verse 27. That overturning was from Medo-Persia to Greece. Overturn it from Greece to Rome. And it shall be no more until he come whose right it is. And I will give it him. So God wanted to give his people temporal or worldly prosperity. If you go with me to Deuteronomy, you will see just such a pronouncement in chapter 28 of Deuteronomy. God wanted to bless his people with worldly power. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." Now, you remember maybe that when they came into that promised land, which was right on the crossroads between Egypt and Syria and Mesopotamia, the Phoenicians, which occupied that coast of Canaan, they commanded the merchant lines of the sea for 1,000 years, became fabulously wealthy, did not even have to have a powerful army because they just paid off all their enemies. They actually colonized Carthage, the Phoenicians did, which rivaled the Roman Republic. And this was the territory that God had apportioned to Israel, a goodly land, the Bible says, among the host of nations. God wanted good things for his people, but it was on condition of a covenant. It was on condition that they would hearken, verse 1 of chapter 28, Deuteronomy, unto the voice of the Lord their God diligently, to observe and to do all his commandments. And then he would set them on high above all the nations of the earth. And yet when the time of apostasy came, when they did what the other nations were doing, they asked for something distinctly opposite. They said, "Make us a king, that we may be not above not in preeminence, but that we may be what? Like the nations around. And God heard their prayer until through the history of the kings and their intermarriage with the nations around them and the influences that resulted from those unholy alliances, they were brought to captivity, and the crown then passed until he come, whose right it is, from Israel to Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and then Rome, to be transferred from Rome to Jesus Christ at the second coming. Let's look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. In the days of these kings, the breakup of the Roman Empire, the feats of iron and clay. And if you're not sure about what this prophecy means, just contact the Sacramento Central Church and they will share that information with you. This is a very wonderful prophecy that goes through the promises of God that there would be a change, an overturning and another overturning until verse 44. In the days of these kings, of the iron and the clay feet, of the weak and the strong, of statecraft and churchcraft mixed with the Roman Empire, the God of heaven, it says in verse 44, shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now, this is our hope. We're hoping that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God. We're looking forward to the redemption of this planet. We know that prophetic events have to transpire, and we are seeing some of those prophetic events happening right now. Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 and 12 tell us, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth," another kingdom or a government, which is what Daniel chapter 7 reveals as the angel explained the meaning. We don't just willy-nilly choose what we would like to name or interpret symbols in the Bible as. We have to go by what the Bible says. And so Daniel chapter 7 says the fourth beast is the fourth kingdom, and so we see that a beast in Bible prophecy represents a world power. Another beast, another government, a world power coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Now, Revelation 13 starts with a beast that has four characteristics, just like all of the beasts in Daniel chapter 7, thus linking the two books and helping us to understand each of them respectively. And in Daniel, we see a lion coming first, we see a bear following, and then a leopard with four heads and wings, and then we see a dragon-like terrible beast in Daniel chapter 7 following them all with a little horn that speaks blasphemy. Similarly, in Revelation 13, we see a beast in verse 1 that has the body of a leopard, the feet of a bear, the mouth of a lion, and then the dragon gives him power and great authority. All four beasts are there in Revelation chapter 13. But there's another beast that has the symbology of a lamb, which represents a nominal Christianity. And we know that it's nominal because he's speaking, he is enacting laws as a dragon. He exercises all the power of the first beast, the Antichrist beast, that has the similarities of the little horn in Daniel chapter 7, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So here there is forced worship, which is the topic of our Sabbath today, religious liberty. Now, my parents come from the socialist country of Romania. At the time when they escaped, it was socialist and communist, and I am so glad for the Constitution of the United States of America. I'm thankful that my parents took the stand to be ready to die rather than to live in captivity. And I was raised where I could choose my profession. I could choose not to go to school on God's holy Sabbath day. My parents both had to cease their education at the high school age because all of the students were expected to go 5 days a week in, or 6 days a week, including on the seventh day of the week that God had said, don't rest, don't work on, but rather rest. And so they have now come to this country and we have freedoms. Friends, we need to understand the art of war when it comes to religious liberty being taken away. See, what war is based on is deception. And the art of war is such that the enemy hopes to cause us to think that he is near when he is really far, and that he is far when he is really near. General MacArthur made this mistake in Korea when he, through intelligence, believed that there were only about 20 to 30,000 or so Chinese in North Korea when he was there seeking to resolve the Korean conflict there on the Korean Peninsula. What he failed to his almost utter destruction to realize was that there were not only 20, 30 or so thousand Chinese in North Korea. Although there were intelligence reports that contradicted what he himself was believing, he chose to believe that. And there were actually about 200,000 Chinese. And these were rugged soldiers that were used to the mountainous terrain of Korea and the cold. They were outfitted for the harsh winter climate. And MacArthur almost was completely destroyed and surrounded. He barely made his way out. He had many other successes, but this was a tragic failure. And friends, in Romania, just to tell you what it was like, this was a true infringement of religious liberty. And the things like the typewriters in the country all had to be marked with a special, unique, traceable characteristic to its registered owner, because the dissemination of information was outlawed unless they could control and see who was disseminating that information. And as a result, whenever they would bring in typewriters from other countries that did not have the approval and the registration marks that were able to be traced back to their owners. I talked to a professor in Romania when I was doing some mission work there in the year 1999, and he told me that they would cover themselves with thick blankets, and they would be typing in the middle of the heat of summer and typing out Bible lessons and religious material to prevent the sounds of the clacking of the typewriter to be heard by the informants next door. And they would be sweating profusely underneath these blankets. We don't have that sort of restriction now upon our freedoms. And I just want to caution us that we look to see what's the true freedom we should be fighting for right now. Because I know this is not going to be popular with some people, but the laws of the United States of America still allow me to print whatever I want on my printer, at any printer that chooses to print whatever matter that they would agree to, that I want them to print. And my freedom of speech is still intact for the most part. Now, there are platforms which are privately owned corporations, and I understand there's laws and there's things that it's debatable. Is it a publishing platform or is it just a, you know, what is it exactly? Should they have control over it? Such? The bottom line is we still currently have our freedom to proclaim powerfully in print on the web if we choose to use other platforms. Amen? We can do that. We are able still to create our own platforms. Amen? We can do this. And right now, as we see danger signs of the conflict approaching, we should be full on using every channel that we possibly can, using it to disseminate gospel truth, because we cannot get distracted with lesser battles along the way. We need to be full on sharing the gospel at this time. In Revelation 13, we see that the last conflict is going to be a religious oppression, that there is actually a forced worship. This is yet ahead, but we are going to see it sooner than later. The next verse here, Revelation 13:13-14. It says that he also called the false prophet. This beast, this kingdom is known as the false prophet. It's a religious figure in Revelation 13. And it represents a nation that would be Republican in government, not having the crowns of the other beasts. It would be a nation that would come up around the year 1798 when the first beast would phase out of its civil power. And so the only nation that this could possibly point to that has the appearance of a lamb and yet has the strength and the power of the dragon, Rome in Daniel chapter 7, and carries over from the system and the worldly governance of Rome in its laws and in its democracy. That's the only option is the United States of America. And he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Now, friends, I used to be involved in the New Age. And I also used to be a hippie and used to take physical substances in order to try to experience pleasure and happiness. There was nothing more difficult to break away from than spiritualism and the New Age. This was more of a deception than any physical. It was more, the withdrawals were fierce from the spiritual deception. I had psychic experiences. I had events where I knew it was going to happen before it happened. It was highly testable, highly falsifiable. And there were things that I experienced that the Bible says don't do, such as communicating with those that are dead, et cetera, because those that are dead actually don't know anything. And if you do, you're actually communicating with evil spirits. And this is something that is going to require, if we want to be truly free in the end of time, we need to make sure that we are free indeed through Jesus Christ and fortifying our minds. None but those who have fortified their minds with the truths of the Bible will stand through the last great conflict. Yes, friends, it will be that hard to discern truth. We must be fortified with the scriptures to be able to give a reason for our faith. At this time, to be free indeed and focusing on the most important things. Now, when there is an actual attack on our religious liberty, we need to be on the side of truth. And we need to be sharing and resisting that movement for sure. But let's not get sidetracked trying to overthrow governments when what we need to do is follow the example of Jesus, who tried to enact no civil reform, and in fact, the religious liberty of the Jews was not threatened by the Romans. The religious liberty of the Jews was actually allowing Christ to operate freely, and it was the religious leaders of the day that motivated the Roman government to impinge upon religious liberty of those who are truly following God's word. And it says here that there will be a decree, says to them, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. So these events are in fact just ahead. The Protestants of the United States will be foremost in stretching their hands across the Gulf to grasp the hand of spiritualism. They will reach over the abyss to clasp hands with the Roman power, and under the influence of this threefold union, this country will follow in the steps of Rome in trampling on the rights of conscience. Jesus' words tell us how important it is that we're focusing on being free indeed. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 7, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." Then we see religious persecution. "All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." But instead of an atheistic power threatening the freedom of God's people, who must enact laws vigorously defending and extending the kingdom of Christ on earth, it says that they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues, that is a religious organization, and into prisons, influencing the government, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. So you see this, the progression is to the synagogues, and then to prison, and then before kings and rulers for Christ's sake. Just as it happened in the days of Jesus, it is going to happen again. And while it is day, friends, we need to work. Because let me say that before the time comes for the night, Satan can have no power. Jesus said, I will work while it is yet day. Nothing could touch Jesus during the time of his ministry, and nothing can touch God's church at the end of time if she is doing his bidding until the time comes for a replication of the very events that we see prophesied and have had been in the past, that we have seen in the past. The purpose of us being brought before kings and rulers is actually a purpose that should thrill our hearts with joy, the same joy that filled Paul's when he was on his way to Rome. He said, I appeal to Caesar. Is that because he thought that Caesar was a spineless emperor that would just let him off? He wanted to go and share the gospel at the heart of heathendom. He wanted to give an opportunity for those of Caesar's own household to learn the truth. Friends, God is going to use the persecutions that are just ahead and turn them for a testimony so that we are then able to finish the gospel work which we have been so slow to accomplish during prosperity. Recently, I was in Washington, D.C., at a prayer rally and an event that was dedicated to repentance and return to our alleged special covenant with God above any other nation on earth. And here were some of the words of the speakers. When the heart of God is infused within the heart of the church, we see revival. And when the heart of God is infused within civil government, we see reformation. And when revival is coupled with reformation, we see an awakening that pours over to the people, and a nation can be saved in a day. Now, let's not confuse the event that you're seeing right now on the screen with the event that took place recently when Congress was ratifying the election votes. They were two different events. This one was a group of many of which were sincere Christians from all around the United States that came, about 100,000 or more, for a massive prayer march and for a day of speakers proclaiming the things that you're seeing now on the screen. So this right here should be concerning if we know history, because Constantine tried to do the same thing. To have the heart of God infused within civil government so that his kingdom could be saved in a day. Another speaker repented as an American for violating covenant with you, God, for we have covenantal biblical governance, Father, and we have not acknowledged you, he said, as the head of our nation. We have not listened to your decrees or followed your admonitions. I repent before you from turning away from your laws, your precepts. I repent for leaving you out of our decision-making in government. For you are the source of all truth and justice and righteousness. Pour it out upon us and once again lead us into your presence and revival. Now, friends, the idea that we cannot have a powerful last day revival unless we have the aid of the state to enforce the tables of the Ten Commandments, or rather the one table that is reserved only to God, and not making a very clear distinction, that idea is not found within Scripture. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 18, my kingdom is not of this world. He said this to the Roman authorities, the civil power, Pilate, Pontius Pilate, the governor of Judea. My kingdom is not of this world, or else my servants would fight. It is not from here. Jesus' kingdom is going to come, friends, But until that time, we must get busy sharing the gospel. And if we would get busy sharing the gospel, friends, we need to know the gospel. And we have perfect freedom to read our Bibles. Amen? We have perfect freedom to share and to preach our Bibles. We have the freedom to give out literature door to door at these events to our friends and our neighbors. And we cannot be distracted at this time with lesser political issues, friends. Forgive me if I'm speaking something that is irritating you. But remember that Jesus was brought to Calvary because of this very issue, because he refused to take upon himself civil prerogatives. And he focused on the work that his Father had given him to do. Friends, God wants to bring a wave of freedom over this planet such as has not ever been witnessed, even greater than apostolic times. He wants to transform alcoholics into sober working parents. He wants to transform infidels into faithful wives and husbands. He wants to change the apostate and the irreligious into fervent disciples of Christ. And he is able to do this if we will lay hold on the work that is just before us. To know the Bible and to share the Bible as we have never shared it before. Another very concerning statement. It is time to rebuild. Jesus said to Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" He became the next generation. Jesus said that on this rock of revelation, I will build my ecclesia. Now the word ecclesia means out. Ek means out, like exit. The called out ones, the church that are called out. Friends, why are we going back to Rome to try to do things like Rome? As Christians, we are called out, and yet look at the matching here, the ecclesia, I even forgot what it's called here, the noun phrase that follows to redefine it, my legislative body, ecclesia, my legislative body, not a church, a building. Not a man's kingdom, but a legislative body to make a difference in the world. Friends, that's not biblical. It's just not. We have power, law or no law, to make people religious if we only have the freedom to do so with perfect safety. And at the time, friends, we can share the gospel. John Wycliffe lived to place in the hands of his countrymen. He was about to die, and the friars that he had spoken against came into his room and asked him to recant. And he propped himself up. He asked to be propped up, and he said in a firm voice, "I shall not die, but live and again declare the evil deeds of the friars." And he lived to place in the hands of his countrymen the most powerful of all weapons against Rome, and it's not legislation, to give them the Bible, the heaven-appointed agent to liberate, to enlighten, and evangelize the people. There were many and great obstacles to surmount in the accomplishment of this work. Wycliffe was weighed down with infirmities. He knew that only a few years for labor remained for him. And friends, we only have a short time. I don't know how long, but the signs of the times, friends, are all around us that the time is drawing near for Jesus to come. We are seeing great and rapid changes in the world. And I do not want to diminish the potential of some of the things that are happening in society that will eventuate in true religious freedom being taken away. But we need to get down to business while it's day and use this time wisely. Wycliffe was weighed down with infirmities. He knew that only a few years for labor remained for him. He saw the opposition which he must meet. But encouraged by the promises of God's word, he went forward nothing daunted. In the full vigor of his intellectual powers, rich in experience, he had been preserved and prepared by God's special providence for this, the greatest of his labors. What was the greatest of his labors? While all Christendom was filled with tumult, just what we are seeing now, friends, the reformer in his rectory at Lutterworth, unheeding the storm that raged without, applied himself to his chosen task. And here is a big clue. It wasn't politics. At last, the work was completed. The first English translation of the Bible ever made. The Word of God was opened to England. The reformer feared not now the prison or the stake. He had placed in the hands of the English people a light which should never be extinguished. In giving the Bible to his countrymen, Wycliffe, note this very carefully, he had done more to break the fetters of ignorance and vice, more to liberate and elevate his country. Everybody's about freedom now, right? Everybody wants freedom. People want freedom from either one candidate or the other. But he did more by giving the Bible to his countrymen to liberate and elevate his country than was ever achieved by the most brilliant victories on fields of battle or the calling in of the National Guard. The art of printing being still unknown, it was only by slow and laborious, The art of printing being still unknown, it was only by slow and wearisome labor that copies of the Bible could be multiplied. And there is work for us to do in sharing the scriptures with the entire world at this very time. We need to train an army, friends. We need to train an army that knows the Word of God, not a physical army carrying physical weapons, but an army to heal and to help and that know the truth about the Bible, that are able to share at a moment's notice, without notes, amen? In fact, at times, we may be required to share without our Bibles. We will be brought before kings and rulers, and it is going to take effort in order to do this. Sacrifice. So great was the interest to obtain the book that many willingly engaged in the work of transcribing it. Are you willing to invest in this last day spiritual gospel healing army? Are you willing to give of your talents, to give of your time, to use your intellectual powers, to find a way to help other people know the Bible at this critical time and to be able to share it with others? Friends, there is a work to do, and that work is going to be done by the power of the Holy Spirit, but not while we're distracted. Many willingly engaged in the work of transcribing it, but it was with difficulty that the copyist could supply the demand. Friends, people want the source. They want the scriptures. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed." This is the hallmark of the Christian church. It is the word of God, friends, and it is time for us to return to the word of God and be Jesus' disciples. How long have we spent without being able to give Bible studies on the major important truths for this time? Friends, today, this year, we can make a change. We can make a change, and we can be free indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We need to be free in the Word of God. We need to be unfettered from the sins that constantly beset us. As it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, according as his divine power, verse 3, has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Notice the last phrase of verse 4, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Friends, it is not the time for us to be justifying pornography use. It is not the time for us to be justifying infidelity in our relationships. We cannot be justifying evil tempers and anger towards children. We cannot be justifying selfishness and pride. Right now, we need to be seeking for solutions in the life-giving and liberating power of the gospel and being so close to Jesus that we are representatives of him before the world when the darkness is so thick that seems impossible to penetrate. And yet, can the glory of God be unrecognized when it's poured out upon a planet? It is going to be recognized. We are going to see His glory overwhelm this planet, but only if we are willing to be free indeed. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed. We're Americans. We were never in bondage to any man. We are top dog in the world. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," this was the freedom that was paramount in Jesus' ministry, "whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Friends, do you want to be free? Do you want to be a disciple indeed? If you continue in my word, Jesus said, then are you my disciples indeed. There is power in the word of God that we have not tapped into. The reformers sensed this power. You read what Luther said about the word of God. Oh, I'm just going to read just a couple quotes here, what he said about the word of God. He said, "If I could today become king or emperor, I would not give up my office as preacher." He said, "The neglect of Scripture, even by spiritual leaders, is one of the greatest evils in the world. The Bible is the proper book for men. There the truth is distinguished from error far more clearly than anywhere else, and one finds something new in it every day. For 28 years since I became a doctor, I have now constantly read and preached the Bible. And yet I have not exhausted it, but find something new in it every day." By the way, he found the truth about Romans in the hour that he needed it most, that the just shall live by faith, because he had actually committed the Scripture to memory. And much of it, not only in Romans, and he ran thereupon, he says in his own words, through the Scriptures from memory, solidifying and establishing the truth that has shook the foundations of religious oppression. It is through the power of the Scriptures that we will be free indeed. And friends, if we're not working to save souls, if we don't have the Word of God living in our hearts, if we're not having victory over sin through the same agency that kept Christ Himself faithful, then we could have religious liberty for the next 5,000 years and we still wouldn't finish the gospel work. We need to get to it. Amen? "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." There is power in the Scriptures. The psalmist says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." His delight, Psalms chapter 1, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Do you want this experience? Do you want to learn God's word to use the religious liberty that you have right now? We're starting a special scripture memorization program coming up called Capital Memory. It's starting on Inauguration Day. To sign up, you just go to capitalmemory.com. And we'll be sharing more details here at the end of today's presentation. But the promise is that we will prosper when we're full of the Word of God. Friends, we have freedom in this country. Let's use it right now. "It's more to be desired than gold," the Scriptures are, "yea, than much fine gold." Now, friends, here's a bit of a serious note. "Behold, the days come that I will send," God says, "a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." Now, you know the story of Joseph in the Scriptures. There is coming a persecution against God's people, and it is time now to fortify ourselves and to get busy sharing the gospel. But what did Joseph do? It says in the result of what he did, the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended, and the 7 years of dearth began to come. Friends, we are in the land of the time of plenty right now. Do not be deceived by the extra issues. This is the time of plenty. Let us store the Word of God in our hearts right now. At that very event that I showed you pictures of in Washington, D.C., we went out and we handed 25,000 pieces of literature, 20,000 of a chapter called Modern Revivals, to people at that march. And we had such success, they were flying out. People were coming back saying, we want more. We got letters afterwards. We want to do this with small groups. We love this material. This is great. We were totally unchallenged, friends, because we have freedom in this country. We can share the gospel right now. We are in the time of plenty. The 7 years of famine is going to start. Not literal, please. Don't say I'm setting times and all that. The principle is the same, though. The 7 years of dearth in Joseph's time began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands, but in the land of Egypt, hallelujah, there was bread. There was bread. And friends, we need to store up this bread. We need to store up this bread. I invite you to join, to take up, to accept as a world leader is inaugurated into the office of the most powerful nation of earth on January 20. Won't you decide to inaugurate the Word of God on your heart's throne? Won't you turn to God with all of your heart so that you can make a powerful, lasting difference like Wycliffe did, that you will be able to share the Word of God effortlessly on social media, in person, on the phone, when you're brought before kings and rulers. This is the time to lay up God's Word. We're going to be systematically going through the fundamental truths of Scripture, starting with the topic of the Word of God, going through with about 4 verses every week. And friends, we'll be having training and resources. I've got a verse pack in my pocket I carry with me. And inside, there are cards. And on the outside, there's a little clear plastic pocket that has a verse card in it that I load. It's my spiritual weapon. I reload it. It's my weapon against error. And it's my key to God's Spirit in His Word. And we'll be sharing information on health, how to stimulate your neurons in your brain with proper circulation and how to take care of your health. There are ways that we can actually improve our bodies and accomplish even more than we thought was possible. There was a man, older man, should have been retired. He looked like he was quite old, he looked to me, in Romania that attended one of our small group Bible studies, scripture memory groups. And at the end of that 9-week program, he had memorized without missing a word, 18 verses, and he quoted them successfully, perfectly. And he wept. Here was this older man, and he actually found out that his brain could still learn God's Word. Go to capitalmemory.com. Capital spelled with an O, capitalmemory.com. Sign up. We are starting on January 20. We'll be sending out information on how to become strong in God's Word. There's creative power in God's Word. It spoke the worlds into existence. I wish I had more time to share the amazing miracles that have happened in my life because of it, but we have to close. Besides, my kids told me not to preach too long. So 2 Peter chapter 1, 20 and 21 might be your first verse. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. The first great lesson, knowing this verse, that God's Spirit and life are in His Word. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. With the tools and the skills that we'll be sharing with you, you'll be able to memorize many verses of Scripture. It is time for us to do steady drill, to use every amount of time that we have, every possible, while we're waiting for appointments to start, while we're pumping gas, while we're walking from one point to another. We need to be polishing our weapons, the Word of God, in our minds, assembling and disassembling those verses, like soldiers assemble and disassemble their weapons so they know how they operate. And we can be ready for the crisis that is just upon us. If you go to revivalplan.com, this is going to transfer over as well into the capitalmemory.com area. But if you go to revivalplan.com, you can get a head start by going to the top and clicking on the memorization link at the top, and it will fly down into these topics, the Word of God, the Son, the law of God, which Jesus kept and He advised us to as well. Amen. the Sabbath and death and resurrection. These are critical beliefs that we're going to learn the references and the verses for perfectly by God's grace. Here's the idea. You go and click on one of these, and you can see the list of verses associated with that fundamental belief. You know the 28 fundamental beliefs? That's what this is. So you click on one of these, and it flies out so that you can see the verses, and you can test yourself. Now, personally, I like my digital when I don't have my hard copy. I look at this so much and so often that I would like to give myself a break and others around me a break as they see me looking at my phone. And so what I do is I call this my smart pack. This is my smartphone. This is my smart pack. Smart pack stands for scripture memory and retention training. And when I'm tempted, you know, you look at your phone and 5 seconds later, for some odd reason, you feel the inclination to look at it again when you know good and well you just checked it. And at that time, you choose, you make a decision in your brain and you go with the smart pack. And you pull out your smart pack. You can use your phone if you're so inclined. If you don't have this available or if it's dark or whatever, you can use this at night, your cell phone at night. While you're in bed, you can be reviewing your verses. And then this is how we're going to be accountable. See, we must be accountable. We must be sharing God's word for us to be mighty in it. So if you're on social media, you can also do this by just recording on your phone. Most people have a smartphone. Just record yourself in a well-lighted place, quoting a verse or two or the verses that you have memorized that week. Practice them and quote them and then upload them to Facebook and say, I'm doing the Capital Memory Challenge. I invite you to join me and listen to what I learned this week and share God's word. And friends, we can start a wave of scripture going around the world, people learning and doing and practicing and sharing God's word. So once a week, either Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, maybe at the end of the week, take some time and post, because we have to be accountable. That was one thing that when I started memorizing scripture, I knew that there was going to be someone that I have to be accountable to. Now, basically, we're all, you know, in a semi-quarantine and all that stuff, and so small groups don't work as well as they used to. But you can still do it on social media. You can take a video of yourself, send it to someone else, and say, this is the verse that I learned. This has been such a blessing. You can share some thoughts. You can, friends, be a gospel messenger using the technology that we're still free to use. Amen? To be able to share the gospel. Your brain will develop new neurons, new pathways. Here is some pictures of the event. I don't have time to go through everything again today that I had on this. But I just want to encourage you to, I'm going to go back to the slide that has the information on it. Go to capitalmemory.com. Again, we're launching on January 20, and you will be the greatest promoter of religious liberty if you become free indeed and you use your time wisely where we do have freedom. Let's pray. Actually, let's sing, and then we'll pray.
Teach me faith and duty, beautiful.
as we close, I just want to make an appeal that if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, He is coming soon, and He has a very special eternity planned just for you. Today is the day of salvation. Just open up your heart to Him and tell Him how much you need Him. Don't stay away because you think you're unworthy. Ask Him to save you and then make sure that you're listening to His voice by spending time in His Word and asking for the Holy Spirit to explain it to you. If you'd like to recommit to Jesus, wherever you are, or if you'd like to accept Him and perhaps maybe take the Capital Memory Challenge to learn the fundamental truths of Scripture systematically, with diligence and sacrifice, perhaps laying aside things that are not important or perhaps even bad, I invite you to kneel with me as we pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank You for the plan that You had for Israel, for Your faithfulness to them. We thank You that You have a plan for Your church if we will just listen to what Your marching orders are. And Lord, we just want to confess our worldliness and ask that You please withdraw our affections from temporary, transient, and fleeting pleasures and fix them securely upon eternal treasure. Lord, we ask that You would make our brains agile and elastic this year, that we would be able to increase in wisdom and in stature of our brain cells if the rest of our body can't grow. But we know our brains can grow, and in favor with God and man, even as Jesus did. Oh, Father, forgive us of our sins for how we have lightly regarded the commission that You have given to us to know, to do, and to share Your word. Please give us power, because without You, we can do nothing. Save us in Your kingdom, we pray, and save our families. Lord, make a light go out from each Christian and each church and each person listening. In Jesus' name, amen.